Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want you to take your Bible and go with me to the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. Joshua, chapter number 1, and I want to give you a thought out of here. Joshua, chapter number 1 today. Eternal things is all that matters at the end of the road. When this thing's all said and done, when Jesus calls us home to be with Him, whether that's by the way of the rapture or by the way of the grave, the only thing that's going to matter at the end of this life is what we've done for Christ. That's it. Nothing else is going to matter. It's not going to matter how much money we've had. It's not going to matter our fleshly, our worldly accomplishments. All that's going to matter is what we've done for Christ. And I believe that some of you will give me an amen right here. It seems like yesterday we was at the place that these young people are at, and now here we are. Matter of fact, me and Brother Jeremy was talking yesterday, and we're no longer the young preachers anymore. The generation above us is quickly leaving the scene. They really are. And now the young preachers, it seems Brother Elijah, are beginning to look up to us and to talk to us. And life flies by so quickly and so swiftly today. Matter of fact, it said it this way: what is your life? It's even a vapor. It's just a vapor. It appears for a little time, then it vanisheth away. Whenever we think about our young people today, and I'm going to talk to them, but what I'm going to say is an application to everybody's setting here today. I think you'll understand that once I get started. I'm not going to be that long this morning, but whenever we think about our young people today and we think about these seniors that's sitting here and they've graduated high school now, they are entering into a new chapter of their life. They're closing out one chapter. They're beginning another chapter, and you know that's what our life is made up of. It's just one chapter after another, but one day we'll write our last chapter and the book will be closed and our life will end again, either by way of death or by way of the coming of the Lord. Joshua, when we come to the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, is entering into a new chapter in his life. Whenever you study the life of Joshua now for numerous years, Joshua has lived underneath or served, I would say it that way, underneath a man by the name of Moses. Moses is one of the greatest leaders that we read about in all of the Word of God. And you say, well, man, Moses made some mistakes, don't we all? Moses was a tremendous leader. Moses is responsible and accredited to leading probably somewhere around 2.5 million out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and to the edge of Canaan's land. We know Moses didn't get to go into Canaan, and that's a whole other message within ourselves. But can I say it this way? Moses brought them to one point. Then it was up to Joshua to take them to the next point, to take them to the next step in their life. You're entering into a new area of your life. Mom and daddy's not always going to be there. Mom and daddy's not always going to be able to hold your hand. Mom and daddy's not always going to be able to guide you. There's going to be some times in your life and some foundations that it's been laid. It's what's going to be that keeps you right in the future. Joshua now enters in to this new moment in his life. His successor, his mentor, is dead. And can I just say that I got a blot wrote down. I don't know that I'm going to preach it all, but can I just say this? There will come a day that your mentor will pass on. If the Lord doesn't come back, my mentor preached here last Sunday. Matter of fact, just a few weeks before that, we didn't know if he'd ever be able to again. But I hate to say this, and it breaks my heart to say it, but the truth of the matter is this: it's appointed unto man once to die. And my mentor will pass on one day. And Joshua, his mentor, is passed on. Now, watch this. I want you to think about this. God buries his worker, but his work goes on. And young people, there'll come a day that we step off the scene. There'll come a day that Brother Matt don't stand here and lead this choir. It could quite possibly be one of you young men sitting right here that falls into his place one day and picks up his mantle. There'll come a day that I'll no longer be the pastor here. And you know what, Brother Nicholas? God may even begin grooming you. Who knows what God has for your life? Or God call one of you other young men to stand in this place. What I'm saying is this. Your mentor will pass away one day, and it'll be up to you to take the reins and lead the people. That's what Joshua does here. Now, Moses is not forgotten about, because in the book of Joshua, you'll find out that at least 50 different times Moses is made mention of. Don't ever forget, listen to me, don't ever forget those that invested in your life and believed in you when nobody else did. There was a lot that didn't believe in Joshua, no doubt. But Moses was a man that loved him and believed in him and mentored him. And Joshua never forgot that man that invested in his life. Don't ever forget those that invest in your life and mentor you. He passes off the scene. And boy, we could talk so much about Joshua. We could talk about now Israel has a new leader. Now Israel is blessed with a new land. Now Israel has a new life. When you come to the book of Joshua. But I'm interested, and I may go back at another time and preach on all that. I got so much wrote down I want to give you right there, but I want to be sensitive to the Lord. Whenever you come to Joshua chapter number 1, look in verse number 8. I'll let you remain seated, but look in verse number 8. He said, this book of the law, what is he referring to? Let me bring it into our dispensation. Can I just say it that way? He's referring to the Bible. That's what he's talking about. He said, this book of the law, this word right here, and I want to say something to you young people. That book that you hold in your hand right there, that's not just any old book today. That's the Word of God today. That's Jesus on a printed page, right? That's God on the page right there. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but know this, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That would be a good word for you to circle in that Bible, all. You just don't pick what you want out of it. We live by all of the Word. Can I get a witness right there? We live by all of it. Goes on to say this, for then, not until then, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good, watch the next word, success. There is something whenever we study the Word of God that is known as this, the law of first mention. In other words, the first time a word is mentioned in the Word of God. And whenever you study your Bible, you'll find today that this is the very first time the word success is mentioned in the Bible. You'll also find that it's the last time it's mentioned. It's the only time in the Bible that the word success is mentioned. Now, I want to talk to you for just a minute about being successful. Do you want to be successful? I hope that you do, man. I listened to some of it, and he was saying some of those words, and I looked at Miss Lydia, and I said, that's the reason he announces it, because I'd have just ordered a caramel macchiato. Cum laudes and pumpkin spices and swines. I'd have said a hogs. I looked over at Alicia, and I said, ain't that a hog? She said, we're educated. It's swine. We want to be successful in life, do we not? I know I do. I know that I'm not interested in just being a failure in life. I'm not interested in just being a flunk out in life, man. I want to be successful. And he gives us a prescription for success right here. It's simply this. Let me just say this, and then I'll say that. We got to understand what success is in the first place. Do we view success from the world's eyes, or do we view success from God's eyes? because it's two different things. Can I just give you a parallel? The world's view and God's view. The world's view of success is power. God's view of success is submission. The world says gain. God says give. The world, we're looking for the applause of men versus the approval of God. Being a servant versus serving others. What about this? Leading versus following. You see, in God's eyes, it's not about leading, it's about following. In God's eyes, it's not about being served, but it's about serving. In God's eyes, it's not about the applause of men, it's about the approval of God. In God's eyes, it's not about what we gain, but it's about what we give. In God's eyes, it's not about all the power that we can get, but it's about us submitting ourselves to His power and to His will. So when I talk to you about success today, I'm looking at it from God's eyes. Being successful in the eyes of God. I'll say this again, I'm sure, before I'm done preaching today. But when the day comes that I close my eyes in death and I awake on the other side, what I have accomplished on a fleshly side in this world will matter nothing. Now, I'm not telling you not to try to succeed. When it comes, hey, listen. You know this about me. Whatever you do it to the best of your ability. Whatever it is. If it's working in the swine, if it's, and I know a little bit about what you do in there because I've been in there with you before. You be the very best that there is at that. If it's making a cup of coffee, you be the very best you can be at that. If it's washing the ambulance first thing in the morning, you be the very best ambulance washer that there is. If it's cutting hair, learn how to cut a high and tight. You with me? If it's running the family business, if it's restoring a car, everybody should want to come to you because you're the best that there is. Make sure the food stays good, man. We all like the cafe. I got pretty nervous. Be the one that everybody wants you as their nurse. Be the general foreman or the superintendent or whatever it is that you pursue in that. Be the one that everybody goes, I like working on his job because he's a Christian. Yes, he can set you straight, and that's all right. We need that every once in a while. But in doing that, he don't have to talk to me like a dog. He represents Christ. Man, be the best. But at the end of the day, all of that's going to matter nothing when you stand before God. If you're going to be successful in the eyes of God, he gives us the way to be successful, and here it is, this book of the law. That right here it is. Say, preacher, what's the greatest book that's been ever written on success? Right there it is. Let me give you three things about this book, can I? Number one, I want you to see the message of the book. What is the message of this book today? Here's the message of this book. From Genesis to Revelation, there's one message. You know what it is? Jesus. The message of the book today, it's Jesus. You want your life to be successful? Center it around Jesus. Center it around the message of this book. In everything you do, make Jesus priority in it. In every paper that you write, somehow or another, make Jesus priority in it. In every speech that you give, somehow or another, make Jesus priority in that. In every, I love getting asked to come somewhere and pray. You say, really? Absolutely. When somebody calls me and says, hey, we're having this, is there any way you can come pray the prayer of dedication? Sign me up, man. Let me go. You say, does it matter? It don't matter where it's at. You want me to tell you the reason why? Somewhere in that prayer, I'm going to say something like this. And God, I just want to thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. You see, everything that we do should have one message, and that message is Jesus today. The message of this book, the message of it, it's Jesus today. It's Jesus today. It's Jesus today. You think about this with me. Every person in here, not just these young people, every person in here one day will stand before Jesus. And every person will bow and acknowledge Him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, every one of them. Hitler would do it. Pharaoh would do it. Man, we could bring it into modern day leaders today that deny God. They'll bow in His presence one day and they'll proclaim Him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Hear me and hear me well. If you know you're going to have to do that one day, then why not make everything about your life about Him today? Oh, the message of the book, it's Jesus. Watch this, number two. If you're going to be successful, you're going to have to understand the message of the book. But number two, you're going to have to meditate on the book. What did He say? He said that thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You know, there's a lot of times today that, and now as an adult and as an older man, and I was Brother Stroud yesterday. We was talking, and he was talking about 50, and I said, hey, dude, I ain't nowhere close to that. He said, well, how old are you, Brother Barker? I said, I'm fixing to turn 47. He said, it rounds up to 50, Hoss. He said, accept it. You're headed there real quick. I want you to understand that even today, there's times that I'll be tempted, and my mind goes back to Scripture that I memorized when I was a teenager. My mind goes back to Scripture that I memorized in school and in vacation Bible school. And we had, back when I was growing up, we had what was called neighborhood Bible time. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but we had neighborhood Bible time and we had youth camp. And boy, my mind goes back to all of those Scriptures that I memorized and I meditate upon them. You've heard me say this before. Jesus didn't pray His way out of temptation. Jesus quoted His way out of temptation. Matthew chapter number 4, the temptation of Jesus Christ. Whenever temptation come His way, He didn't bow His head and go to praying. He didn't look around to see if there was somebody there to help Him. Here's exactly what He did. It is written. Three different times, it is written. What was He doing? He was meditating on the Word of God. Young people, if you want your life to be successful, Mom and Daddy, if you want your life to be successful, memorize and meditate on this book today. It's on this book. Number three, I'm done. Are you ready? There's the message of it. It's Jesus. There's the meditating on it. But number three, there's the mandate of this book. And I've preached all morning to get here. And I look across at them youngins sitting there, and I go back in my mind when they got saved, their testimonies of salvation. I go back in my mind to standing right up there in that corner when Brother Brian asked me to pray for Cheyenne. When she started up here, I went back in my mind over there, Brother Brian, in the old building, Miss Christie, when she got saved. I go across there. So they have a testimony of being saved. Now, I want to talk to everybody else for just a minute. There's a mandate from this book today. It's not up for discussion. It's not up for whether you agree with it or not. The truth of the matter is this is the Word of God. and what it says will stand. Somebody give me an amen right there. Here's the mandate of it. Are you ready? It's very simple. You must be born again. You must be. There's no way around that. You got to be saved. Did you hear the preacher? You got to be saved. You want your life to count for something? You got to be saved. You'll never be successful in God's eyes if you're not saved. If you've never accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, hey, hear me and hear me well. You're not going to meditate on the Word. You don't understand the message of the Word because you've never accepted the mandate of the Word. And the mandate is this, you got to be saved. I said, preacher, what do you mean I've got to be saved? Well, according to the Scriptures, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that means? Watch this. That means everybody has sinned. Everybody's missed the mark. Miss Lisa, will you come start playing that song again? Do you care to do that? Everybody has missed the mark. For all have sinned and come short. There's two types of sinners in this room today. Watch this. You ready? Saved sinners and lost sinners. But every one of us are sinners. Every one of us. And the mandate is this. You must be born again. Well, how do I get born again? Preacher, what do you mean born again? Simply this. Has there ever been that time in your life that you realized you was lost? I'm glad I got lost. I'm glad when people ask me if I'm saved, I always tell them, well, sure I'm saved, but can I tell you about when I got lost? Because if you never got lost, you've probably never been saved. I'm going to tell you about the time I got lost. It was July the 20th, 1994. I got lost, man. I'm telling you, I was sitting on about halfway back on the left-hand side, Brother Dustin of Turner's Creek Baptist Church. And I realized I was going to hell. Man, I'll never forget it. I realized, man, I was going to die and go to hell. I realized that everything, man, I got a good mom and daddy. I got the best. I got the best parents in the world. I could quote you all kinds of scripture. I could quote you the Romans Road when I got saved. I could tell you the books of the Bible. I had taught Sunday school. I'd worked the bus route. When I'm going to tell you something, that night, Miss Courtney, I got lost. I realized that every program that I had been through, that every Sunday school class I'd ever sat in, that every song that I'd ever sung with the youth choir or with the adult choir or in any special song, Brother Stan, I realized not one bit of that was ever going to matter to anything. I was lost and I was on my road to hell. Oh, but I also realized, he said, you must be born again. But I also realized that there was a God that loved me so much, the same thing in John 3, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Carter, that night I realized I was not only lost, but I realized there was a God that loved me. No, I hadn't committed no great big crimes. And I've still to this day, Brother Justin, I've never been drunk a day in my life. I've never been messed up on dope, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm still going to hell, son. I'm still headed straight to the flames of hell. Boy, I sure am glad that day I realized I wasn't just lost, but there was a God that loved me and a God that would save me and a God that would change my life. There's a mandate in this book, and it's you got to be saved. If you're going to heaven, you got to be saved. You say, preacher, I'm successful. Are you saved? Because the mandate of that book is you must be born again. I'm glad that when I realized I was lost, I realized there was a God that loved me and would save me. I'll never forget. I made my way. I went past the altar. Y'all have heard me tell it before. I went through the door. And I went to the adult men's Sunday school class. And there was an old round, Dennis, is a round thermostat. You probably know what I'm talking about. One of them old round thermostats. I knelt underneath that old round thermostat. Oh, it's still good today. I knelt underneath that old thermostat. I can't tell you every word I said, but I can tell you this. I went down one way, and I came up another way. I can tell you this, whenever I bow on my knees, I say unto God, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. I don't want to die and go to hell. God, would you forgive me? And let me tell you what he did. He did exactly what he said he'd do. Oh, and he saved my soul. He said, you want to be successful, you have to take heed to the mandate of the Word of God. You say, preacher, this morning you don't know my life. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the life that I've lived. I don't have to. Because he said this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. And I asked you a question this morning. It's 12:02. We're going home, but can I ask you a question? Are you saved? At the end of this life, if we never get a hold of it, that's all that's going to matter. Are we saved? Do we know the Lord? If Jesus came back, he's coming, by the way. If he came back, before we close the service completely out, would you be left here or would you be in heaven? If you get in your vehicle and you start up the road today and something happens, and you're called out into eternity, are you going to open your eyes in heaven or are you going to open them in hell? You're not going to escape it. It's appointed unto man once to die. We're headed there. You go home today and lay down for your Sunday afternoon nap. Close your eyes and some medical condition hits you. You never open them this side of eternity again. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. You never open them this side of eternity again. Where would you be? There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun today. And God loves you so much that he gave his son to die for your sins. The mandate of this book, young people, you want to be successful, it's all right here. The message of it is Jesus. The meditating on it, that's up to you. I can't do it for you. But the mandate of it is this. You must. We're fixing to go home, but I'm telling you, we get so concerned with everything else. Brother John hit the nail on the head this morning when he was teaching Sunday school. Well, I'm telling you today, in the center of this earth, there's a hell. You say, how do you know what that book said it? You're either going to believe it and accept Jesus, or you'll open your eyes in hell one day and then believe it. But there's a hell in the center of this earth. And when we reject Christ, we reject the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where you open your eyes at one day. And you're not going to be able to stand when you stand before God and say, nobody ever told me. Nobody ever told. I'm telling you today. I don't know why the Lord's parked me here. But I'm telling you, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to open your eyes in a place called hell. Thank God for Jesus today. Thank God for Calvary today. You must. That's a mandate of it. You must be. Preacher, I'm going to get my life straightened up. Then I'm going to get saved. You'll never do it. You'll never do it. You'll never do it. You'll have to get saved. And then after you get saved, God will straighten your life up.